Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. I gotta like figure out how to enter into the room after that. Song just filled this out. Welcome to Soma Time, Sapiens.
Uh-huh.
I'm your host, Guy Pardo, Flippy, whatever I am.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's Professor Val, and we are all depressed today. We are going to be depressed the entire hour. Everyone that would like to lie down on the couch and just tell us your problems, you know, we'll be Fraser Crane tonight. We're listening. The number to call to whine is 646-478-4847. We'd love to be surprised by one of you depressed sapes leaning over to the phone and call us. It'd be kind of a novelty for us, seeing us getting calls is a little bit like waiting for Godot over here on the Blog Talk.
Yep. This is true.
Mm.
Hey, I hear we're going to get some really crappy weather tomorrow.
Oh, let's get depressed about that. Yeah. Stormy
weather.
I haven't checked it out, but...
Yeah, that means that probably not going to go to the gym, which is going to really put me in a mood.
Let's start with that, because depressed people are like shy people. They really think that anyone gives a rat's ass. And how fragile is your day? The easiest thing to ruin in somebody is their day. And what does it take to ruin somebody's day? For some people, it just basically is a dirty look. And that's it. Someone flips them off on the highway in the morning, and they're gone.
Hmm.
They're off to the races.
Nah.
So it's one of those things that with depressed people, it's like the event took place before the interpretation. So it's like, say you want to go see a movie, right? And you see the coming attractions and you're into the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go see the movie and the movie blows. It sucks.
Yeah, that happens.
That movie De Niro and Pacino just made. Right?
Oh, well, I didn't even bother.
No, because
it got
horrible reviews. Yeah, you heard it sucked, even better.
Mm-hmm.
You got bad news and you took it. But people saw the coming attractions. Yep. Wow, it's going to be great. It's going to be like all the old movies. That's good. And the movie blew. So the critics were more vicious about these two guys, you know, rooking us, because the movie they expected in their head wasn't as good as the one they saw on the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much the way depressed people are wired, because they expect certain things to happen, and when they don't happen, they get sad, because their expectations are held higher than their experiences. So I always tell people when they have that happen, well, you already have a better movie in your head, watch that one. But they somehow think that once the experience comes in, it kind of trumps the expectation. And they don't know how to reconcile that. They have like a split end that where their timeline goes to the future. This is hilarious. I'm watching the Ranger game here. And about, 3 minutes ago was when I was complaining because the Thrashers scored to tie the game. And the goal light is stuck on. And they can't shut it off. So there's... about five sapes now strangling this thing, trying to get this. And of course, you know, a hockey game would like us, but it's sirens, you know.
Yep.
So they tried to continue the game without it, and then they finally just came in. The guy just, like, yanked it out of the cord there. It's pretty funny.
They should have sent an onto out to handle it.
Yes, he would have just, like, pulled a Fonzie and wrapped it, and they would have shut up or just glared at it, you know.
That's right.
But the one thing, I mean, depression has a lot of flavors. And if you go to, actually it was Blog Soma, the blog we liked, blogsoma.net, I kind of gave you a little recipe there for different flavors of depression. But now we're in the holiday blues season, right? So you're going to start hearing people go, I'm alone at Christmas. And you're going to get that garbage. And the thing is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because a depressed person will find a way. They will find a way to interpret even neutral experiences, even ones that are quasi-positive, and they will make them into crap. And they will then sit in that crap and go, look at the crap I'm sitting in. See? Because underneath anger and fear and all those other things is an interpreter. And the interpreter says, this is what's supposed to happen. And that's where you get into expectations. And expectations are just a habit based on your prior experiences. If you've had a lot of crappy things happen to you, you think crappy comes next. Not happy, crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is people say... have a nice day, and that's like an insult with the press person. What, are you daring me? Are you looking at me? And so what happens is that they don't get out of their head, and as a consequence, they lose their body. And we were talking about it last night at a college in New Rochelle about where happiness is. People think happiness is associated with the upswing, with the more philo side of the coin, where everything's about bonding and everything's about people and relationships and love. No. Happiness doesn't live there. The right side of your brain, where all those kind of like, you know, funky emotions hang out, is not where happiness gets its mail. It actually gets its mail on the left side. Take it to the left and the dochi on the left. And because happiness has to do with what actually freaking happens. Happy happens, right? Not what's supposed to happen, not what you expect, but what you get. So it's a WYSIWYG. So EXOS, in terms of our four domains, and if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, you can go to summerspace.org and read all about it. I don't even know where to go to find out about it anymore. But
well, you know what? Relationshipshop.com has that really nice.
Oh.
Okay.
The old
shop,
summary.
The old-fashioned shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Yeah,
you can
check it out over there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't understand those four basic ways, like if you're riding a wave, you know, a wave has a peak and a valley and a rise and a fall, okay? We relabeled them. Using the semantic prefixes about how you experience those things. When you're in a valley, down in the valley, you're in the exo phase of the wave. You're in the valley there, right? So you're outside yourself, and there's basically not a lot of activity, right? We have this happen every time we have a new moon, right? And from midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning, you're outside your body. You're usually, like those are me, you're asleep, or you're supposed to be, right? And then 6 o'clock, the cortisone cortisol gets dumped into the bloodstream, and the adrenals go, get the hell up, wake up, goddammit, and you're back into that philo mode of acting like a regular old commuter sapien, and you go through your day till noon, right? Then it's all about you, from noon to six, onto a part of the day, and you're self-referencing, figuring out if you got all the stuff done that you were supposed to get done in the morning. And now, 9 o'clock, we're in the middle of shanty hours, eco hours, when you emotionally release the tensions of the day and wind down to Exoland at midnight. And that cycle goes on every day, all day, all week, all month. So when you're talking about this wave that we're living in, right, each one of those points in the wave have a different perspective. So think about it. If you're sitting in the valley of a wave, before it even goes up, you're in the valley, right? Not a lot of momentum there. You're just kind of sitting there. You're WYSIWYG. You take things as they come. You don't have an interior because there's nothing interior to look at. Everything is external. Everything is in front of you, right? Now you're on the rising part of the wave. You feel pretty vulnerable because you can fall on your ass. You don't know how high this wave goes. You need help to get up the wave. Everybody with me? Hello. You get to the peak of the wave. Now you're onto. Now you're up there going, king of the world, ma! King of the world! You don't have a care in the world because no one can take your pins out because you're up high. You can see forever. You're on a peak. You're riding. You're flowing. You're all in the zone. And then Eco comes in and says, time to go downstairs now. And it's all that release of the power, release of the control. And you're going down the wave, and it's getting very dark. And everything's starting to slow down again, so you're back in the valley. And that's what you do, every breath, every blink, every heartbeat, and every time you pulse in the planet Earth. So that's all that it takes. Depression is just a fixation on the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking about last night, happiness lives in the valley. It lives in expiration. So when you breathe out, and we're talking about, you know, whether you sneeze, have an orgasm, or blow reverie, I don't care. Every time you're releasing tension, when you're relaxing your muscles, when you're breathing out, all that releasing of the tension, not the impulse to release it, which is the eco part, the emotional part of, I've got to get out of here, I've got to get out of here, and then finally hit threshold and you leave. It's when that bullet leaves the gun, comes over, right? That's where happiness lives. So you can't get there, you can't get out of depression through the emotional filter. You can't find another emotion on top of it that's going to cover up that part of the wave. And that's what most people try to do with depression. They try to figure it out, man. Figure it out, man. You can't.
Months and months of time trying to do that.
And all you got to do is learn how to breathe out a little longer and put your attention more in that part of the cycle. And suddenly, you get all rid of all that carbon dioxide, you get rid of all that lactic acid in your muscles, your body starts to release its tension, and all that memory that was locked up in those tissues that was basically making you fester in chemical hell is gets released on parole to the next breath. And the more rhythm you establish within that breath, the more attention you spend it, then it'll translate the way you move. And that's how somatics works. It's like a slinky, you know? And what I see mostly happening with depression is they try to make it, just like we did with anxiety a couple of shows ago, they try to make it into something mental, they try to make it into something psychological, and they try to make it something abstract that you can't get a hold of, you can't put a fork in. You know, and they go, oh, it's a brain imbalance, man, it's a chemistry thing, man. Oh, it's a genetic thing, man. Oh, it's trauma, man. It's all post-traumatic trauma, man. Well, if you have those things happening to you, and you breathe like you did in that event, and you don't release the tension, yeah, you run out of energy, and you're stuck flat on your back in the valley like a basically a turtle on its back.
Uh-huh.
And what? Very nice. Nice roll. Wait, where's the? Okay. You end up with that.
Or what about this here? Wait a minute.
What?
Let's see. Here she goes. She's walking.
Every day takes figuring out all over again how to fucking live.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Calamity Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, exactly. So what we're trying to do, you know, with this hour is basically give you guys an opportunity to break down your experience of depression, understand it from the context we're coming from, and then try to take these four different perspectives. And realize that you can be depressed and be in any one of those four perspectives. You can be depressed and be on top of the world. Think of people that are having the millionaire blues, right? They finally make the money. They finally achieve all the goals. But that ladder was up against the wrong wall, baby. And they ain't satisfied. No, no. They climbed the wrong mountain, baby. And they're all disillusioned. The money didn't give them the happiness. And the achievement didn't give them the happiness. And whatever, the losing the weight didn't give them the happiness. Whatever stupid goal they put in front of their nose, whatever carrot they put out in front of themselves, it wasn't enough.
Yep.
Because the consciousness, baby, can travel with you all the way up and down that wave. That's one of the things about somatics that no one understands. It is not physical. It is metaphysical. Because somatination takes you across dimensions of consciousness. It's traveling with you when you're unconscious. It's traveling with you when you're dreaming. You're always in the soma. And that's one of the things about the mind-body stuff that makes you crazy, because they try to divide it when you really can't. They're complementary. They're inseparable. And they feed off each other, and that's how you keep the wave moving. But we've screwed all that up, and now we got to unscrew it up. So this show is an opportunity to do that, and it's also an opportunity to realize, like we were talking about last night, your entire life, and my entire life, and even Val's entire life, and the lives of the archivers out there, it's all a damn joke. It's funny. The universe is hilarious. And that's why it gives you... And that's why it gives you... That's why it gives you so many mixed signals, so many false gods, so many dilemmas, so many so-called problems for you to riddle yourself into oblivion on. What actually all it's trying to do is get you to participate, not anticipate, not analyze it, not try to stop, freeze frame it and put it on a shelf and break it down and put it under a microscope. No, it's trying to get you to go along for the ride. But us vacuum heads that keep trying to suck the life out of everything won't allow that to happen. And so what happens, of course, is it starts playing jokes on you. And one of the biggest jokes in terms of depression has to do with the personal side of it, where you think that your depression is unique to you as opposed to somebody else's, as if happiness could be commoditized by one person. Oh, no, I could out-depress you. And so what you have is people basically trying to out-gruel each other, out-grief each other. And so you take a depressed person, you put them around somebody who's slightly more content with their things than the other one, and the depressed person gets angry that how dare this less than unhappy person come around, and they get even more depressed. So it's like the drowning man kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And it feeds on itself. And so then you think about how they process time. Like I was saying before, a depressed person has a very split image of their future. They're really hooked into their expectations, which is actually a Philo trait. And Philos just think one event after the other. They process things in a very linear way, right? So when you expect the next step to be there in front of you, and it's not there, and you fall into a manhole cover, funny for me, not funny for you. Right? Want to look at where you were going? Hilarious. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what life's about. When the surprises come up, some people go up a tree, and they take their lithium, and they have their anxiety attack, right? Because all anxiety is, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, It's fear of falling. Okay? Your body has righting reflexes to make sure it doesn't fall down. And so we go through that physical process first, and then after a while, it becomes more of a cognitive process where we're trying to not lose our minds and have our beliefs challenged, things like that. And then deeper layers, emotional layers come up, and even spiritual slippage.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when that happens.
Can't
ever drop your soul?
That.
Yeah, I skinned my soul the other day, actually. So, in lieu of callers...
You're such an ass.
Well, don't all run to the phone at once. A&W Cream Soda sponsors this minute. I like to get from a psychological standpoint, because we always try to beat up on the psychologists out there. When someone claims that they're depressed, in your training, what is the crowbar to get them out of the little trap they put themselves in? How do you approach depression in a traditional psychobabble type of way?
Well, you have to get them to talk about what's bothering them. And
okay.
One of the things that they say is, you know, if you let it out, you release it, you feel a little less bad about it. That's one way. One of the other ways is, I always yell at them to exercise, but that's just me. You know, get some of that stress and anxiety and misery out of their bloodstream. Sometimes we have them do journaling.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, get in touch with their feelings.
Wow.
Yeah. What else do we do? We'll let them vent. You know, we just pretend we're listening. And let
them go. So how does all that get to the depression? I don't understand that.
I don't really think it does. To be honest with you, I really don't think it does. I think that doing work with yourself and you know, doing journaling and stuff is actually pretty helpful in some ways, but to sit and talk. Listen, I've been in therapy for anxiety. Years ago, I used to go when I had panic attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made no freaking difference, and I hated going because it was like, all right, now who am I going to complain about today? It doesn't do any good. And when people come to me and they're complaining about, you know, their relationships or whatever, it's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to come back the next week. They're going to complain about the same people, make no changes, and not even try to change anything, and pay me, and then come back the next week. I can't stand it.
Yeah, but that's part of the therapeutic environment, right? Is to have somebody you can be a sounding board and trust, and you can't approach the people that have given you the crap.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. I mean, you know, it's like that one safe that I had who was. Having trouble in his marriage, and he was miserable. And we gave him the somatic tools there,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't need me anymore. Because
well, that's all
ding,
point.
The light went on. Hello?
Well, like I said, once you solve the puzzle, so to speak, and you know the joke, then it first of all, you're free to go have fun. And life isn't so funny in an odd way. It's funny in an ironic way. It's like, I can't believe I went for that one. And really, that's all it's trying to do. It's trying. Life is not trying to punish you or trying to test you or challenge you, and the universe is not challenging you. All that crap comes from a warp map of the world that just some people just internalize more than others, I guess, where expectation rules the day. And then, of course, that leads to I create my own reality, and yada, yada. And it actually
how does that work? How do you create something that already exists?
My reality. I have my reality glue right over my shoulder.
I see.
Reality glue. Yeah, keep it together. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they've taken a whole generation that spent a lot of time contemplating the navel. And if you've ever contemplated your navel and your me, holy mackerel.
Oh, man.
Yes. And so what happens is that all of that self-indulgence and all that examining of yourself magnifies the weak spots because we are wired for survival. So it's a little bit like checking to see if a bullet hits you before a gun is fired. You're constantly coming up against reasons to prepare for more trauma, reasons to prepare for more conflict, because that's basically what most of the memory's full of, a lot of things that you survived. It's only after you put that behind you and you've addressed it, that you've evolved beyond it, and that stuff doesn't scare you no more. But
mm-hmm.
with depression, people are constantly holding on to those things because it makes more sense because it's called known misery. I know that makes me mad. I know that brings me down. I know that disempowers me, but I'm familiar with it. Therefore,
right.
I feel secure around it.
That's why people stay in stupid relationships, because it's familiar and they know what to expect.
Well, again, it has to do with options. And the thing is, an opportunity can look like a threat when it challenges that security, when it challenges
mm-hmm.
that foundation that allows you to feel like you're in control, which is another one of the big illusions about, you know, most of these emotions. And underneath all that, like basically kind of tunneling around it, is this sense of, what's myself? Who am I? You know, all those questions, existential questions that we ask that never get answered. Because as long as you're asking a question in the sense of who, you're telling a story, and those stories never end. But if you know what you are, and that's a soma, and if you don't know what a soma is, damn it, go figure it out. Google it. I'm tired of telling you. All right? It's a self-moving, self-experiencing sensory motor system, including and transcending humanity. All right? So you have a self and its surroundings. That relationship is the soma. Can't put a fork in it. Can't kill it with a stick. Can't even have a parade or a protest against it. The soma lives on. Okay? That's why when people get nuts and they get stuck in their head and their body becomes their enemy, or they get stuck in their body when they're injured and their head becomes their enemy, you're constantly moving that fulcrum of the seesaw back and forth, and you're teasing yourself out of the joke because the universe is trying to let you in on the joke. It's just saying, breathe, Sape. Breathe and be free. And we go, no, I'm going to sigh. Or whimper. No, those are good coping mechanisms, right, as a baby, right, because you're sending out a distress signal, because you are physically and for all intents and purposes, existentially vulnerable. No baby's winning any 100-yard dashes, right?
No, nothing.
So you need the only distress signal is your voice, and your breathing rhythm is always hinged on your interactions with others, because you're trying to use your interaction with others to develop your brain. As an adult, when you revert back to those behaviors, that's why all therapy always brings you backwards into the past, because that's where all the trauma happened. We have to address the trauma. No, you don't. Mail it. Mail it away. You don't have to address it ever again if you know how to freaking breathe out. That's why I used to give people balloons. They go into balloon class. Because if you're sitting, if you're watching this, if you're watching this show, you're here with me. If you're listening to this show, okay, and you're sitting down, you'll realize in 2 seconds if you're carrying a little depression with you on your back, okay? A little muscle called the trapezius. When you shrug your shoulders, it's like the consultant's muscle. I don't know. All right, you shrug your shoulders, your shoulders go, right? That muscle is a reflection of how you're mentally and physically interacting with the world. So if it's tight, if it's constantly sore in there, you're holding a lot of sub-visualized and sub-vocalized events that you haven't processed yet, which will, over time, will weigh you down and depress you, okay?
I worked my shoulders yesterday. Mine are a little sore.
Well, that's where a lot of tension goes, right? And it's also right behind the heart there. So you have this wall of muscle that's just always holding a lot of, basically, noise that interferes with the conversation between the heart and the spinal cord and the brain. And so over time, what happens is those muscles begin to fail because they get tired, and your head goes like a big hulking little gorilla out over your shoelaces, and you look like an upside-down umbrella handle, right? Head out over shoelaces. You can't get enough oxygen to your brain to be awake and alert, so depression is your only strategy. That's the physical part of depression. Then the interior of it is you lose your image of the future. You, like, lost your GPS because your target, the floor, is becoming more apparent. I don't want to fall. So you have that dual probe thing of anxiety from the bottom, depression from the top, and it puts you in what they call in somatics, Hannah Somatics, the dark vice. Yes, the dark vice, which squeezes your secondary curves out of your spine and compresses the heart from above and below. And ultimately,
that's nice.
Yeah, ultimately leads to what they call the senile posture, which is when you see the old gummers walking along and they can't even lift their knees up. They're like old bears. Okay? And you earn that thing because you have that amnesia, that sort of, again, forget what I am and focus on who I am, going on all the time. It takes you outside your body. So you're always living in the valley. So even if you're moving around and tapping your toes and active, and you're in your head, you're still technically exoing. You're still technically outside the system. It's only in the other three domains, when you're rising at the peak and at the fall, that you're actually feeling something, moving internally. Like if you just do something simple like right now, just hold your breath, just hold your fucking breath, just stop breathing, stop breathing. Instantly, your awareness goes internal. Like, damn, usually there's air flowing in here, now there's nothing. Right? And so the system prioritizes that over anything else. So anytime you're traumatized, worried, threatened, no matter what, if you learn, and I'll say it my way, if you recall that ischemic response of holding the breath, that protects you, fight or flight, everything's happy, because when you hold your breath, what happens? Sympathetic starts going, it's fight or flight, all that stuff comes, all that tension comes up to the surface to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you learn to release it, where the happiness is, happy button, and so you've now kind of cleared the cache, and you sort of overwrite anything that was kind of crossing your mind at that time, and it clears your head. And if you do that in a fire drill fashion, when there's nothing going on, when there's no emotional content to it, you'll definitely do it when there is. So you're sort of training yourself how not to internalize all these little micro-traumas throughout the day so that you don't get enough rest at night, and then you're constantly in a state of kind of, stop-and-go traffic as you go throughout your day. And this is what I see with depression, more so than an anxiety, is an unwillingness to drive the bus, where in anxiety you won't let go of the wheel. You're afraid you're going off a cliff. And that's, again, maybe this is my sort of problem with therapy.
There's a lot of problems with therapy.
Well, the setup is wrong. The setup is always on. The practitioner has to kind of pull the magic little thread out of your, or little thorn out of your foot, and then what? Are you safe? Are you better? Are you happy now? No, because life's going to come at you again. It's going to happen again. What are you going to do next time? Go right back to the couch? So I'm just wondering about that.
Mm-hmm.
And all these emotional conditions, and we'll go through more of them as we go through the alphabet here, but I want to get more into how the fact that this is all a damn joke. It is so funny to me. When I watch, not funny like I'm laughing at a client or even at life itself, but funny in the sense that I can't understand how, if you're given all this, all the possibilities, all the ways of interpreting something, why the most common way of interpreting it is the way that anchors you to it. And maybe it's because, like I was saying last night, the society is set up to exploit your weaknesses and hide your strengths. And we don't get the biological map that somatics gives us that does the opposite, that enhances your awareness of your strengths, and it supports and protects you from your weaknesses because you're not defending them anymore, okay? And it's very strange. Like, it's almost like I'm on the other side of the mirror in a way where, I live in a world that there's a lot of bumps on my road, but the thing is that I can constantly reset myself in a way. I'm not invincible by any stretch of the imagination. Same token, I'm also not so powerless and so helpless that every little thing that happens to me causes me to turtle bug. And maybe that's because of, 25, 30 years of practicing some of these principles and internalizing them so that they become second nature. The other part of it is that I didn't like what the other menu offered me, which is basically drugs and a couch. Not much else there.
Yeah, I tried the medication for the anxiety. You know what? It did nothing except made certain parts of my body itchy that I couldn't scratch in public. And I was teaching.
Mm. Well, a lot of the medication, like, psychotherapeutic stuff or the nutraceuticals, whatever they call them, even the supplements, they cause a lot of detox because you're dealing with a lot of residue. So one of the first things that happens when you're getting those drugs is that it purges the tissues and you get histamines and some people get hypersensitivity responses, things like that. But
yeah,
just
and I need more histamines, don't I?
Yeah, well, you can sell them on the corner. You got something.
My histamines are just insane.
You're a Mr. Histamine, is what you are.
I am.
Yes. You're like a steamship of histamines. So, focusing in here on the holiday blues, because I don't know about you, but I'll be getting some of those calls.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And as we get closer to New Year's, that we get closer to Suicide Night. I can't wait for Suicide Night. Get your phones out. Hello. We're putting a tape show on that night, so you guys are on your own. But for
That's
the most
right.
part, what is suicide but depression with attention? Right? That's when the future goes completely off the map. There's no more expectation. Then you run out of tape, and you go, time to kill myself. right? But what happens really, it's a spiritual thing in a way, because depression is trying to teach you to turn inward, but it's also trying to teach you to turn the light on in there, all right? And say, I'm greater than the sum of my experiences. This is not something I have to concern myself with. There's no problem to solve. There's no riddle. There's no mystery. Oh, my God, I'm free. And at that point, you cease to exist, because your entire freaking life has been about trying to solve problems and obstacles, when really what life is trying to do was show you the course. And the biggest thing about depression...
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to. In life, you have to do a lot of things you don't fucking want to do. Many times, that's what the fuck life is. One vile fucking task after another. But don't get aggravated. Then the enemy has you by the short hair.
There you go. The wisdom of Al.
Mm-hmm.
On that. But I think that's one of the biggest issues, is people try to separate the obstacles from the course in life. They don't realize that the obstacles are there to keep you on the course. And most people spend a lot of time investing themselves in trying to break through the obstacles and eliminate them even. Stamp them out. And in fact, it's an impossible. So, number again, 845. Oh, what is it? That's your number. 646. Hello. 646-478-4847. I started reading. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm off the line. 646-478-4847. We got 30 minutes to go to the top of the hour. All you depressed people who can't get to the phone, find a relative to call, and we will take your situation and break it down for you. Because braggadocio, if you know what your primary domain is and what orientation you have on that wave, because in the first 4 years of life, you pick a seat. And if you haven't gone over to somaspace.org and clicked on our wonderful book, The S-List, you can go over and do that. Go to the store on the site and then scroll down and you'll see S-List there, and you can read our little ebook that gives you all this lingo. And if you don't want that, you can always go to the blog we hate, thedailyprofiler.net, which we do summaries of the little shoe we're just doing now, so that you, if you don't want to listen to us ramble, you can just get the skinny over there and apply some of the time techniques. Because one of the things about depression, like I said before, is the past equals the future. And there's no change then, right? And then you have expectations from the present going into the future that gives you that little split, and you end up with that kind of disappointment, that little gap in between what you expected to happen, what actually happened, and then you can't be happy. You can't be happy when you got an expectation and an experience that don't match up. Okay? So that's why we want to get that kind of across to you. So we'll do a little timeline work here tonight. A little timeline work. I'm going to do a little thing called the raindrop time, right? Now, most people think about time in a linear sense as going basically either in front of our eyes across from us, right, past to the left, future to the right, or through us where the past is behind us, and we're looking ahead, we're looking forward into the future, and we're on that shish kebab in the present. Now, what if time was like a raindrop, like a rainbow? I got that stupid phone song in my head.
You know, you do that, and then it's stuck in my head, and then I want
to
choke you.
I just basically splashed you with that one. I got to go find that song now. See if you can find that on YouTube for me.
What is it?
Is it Rolling Stones? Is it Rainbow?
Oh, yeah. Let me find it. Yeah. But see, it was 2 seconds, and Eco Mind went somewhere else.
Hmm. But anyway, well, this raindrop time technique is very simple. Basically, the precipitating moment, the moment that's happening to you, is right above your little melon, your little safe head. All right? And when it hits you, it hits your Batman, hits the top of your head, and you have that experience of the now, your system has to do one or two things. And it always does one thing first before the other. It always relapses. And relapse is a great word because it means it goes back into phase. It goes back to the left, like the Kennedy shot, back to the left. And it goes underneath itself. It gets underneath its own self-awareness. And then it says, did I have this experience before? It's like a Frosty the Snowman moment. And if it raises its self-awareness, right, then it rises above and gets revitalized and goes into the future. And you have that feeling of going to the peak. So you can go from the valley to the peak, and the Rangers just won in overtime. Hello! Can I get a horn for that?
No, I don't know. I'm not on there. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Damn it.
What do you want?
The horn.
Hold on. Oh, crap. I can't even find the page on here. Ugh.
I got this one.
A judo. A judo. A judo. A judo. A judo. A judo.
that'll work.
Here it is.
Oh,
okay. I just went. A little soma casting going on in one eye. So that whole process, that raindrop technique, is that you allow time to pass through your body from head to toe so that the past hits the floor below your feet, goes to China, the present washes through, and the future's just above your head. You don't have to see it, you just have to feel it. You just let yourself step into the light, step into the moment. You got that rainbow song yet?
I just sent you a link. It's live, though.
Let me see if I got
live music.
Well, I when I'm there, I don't mind it.
Right.
Let's see if I can. What's the name of the song, Rainbow?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me check it out over here on the Snapster. I'm stuck on it here. It's Taylor Swift's getting on my nerves, by the way.
What is?
The chick, Taylor Swift. She's everywhere. She's really pissing
me off.
I have
no idea who that is.
She's a new chick.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, tell her to go screw herself.
She's everywhere. Oh, here, okay. Very nice. Add to now playing. It's background music. Well, there's a new show on Showtime we're going to become addicted to next month. The United States of Tara. Have you seen the...
Oh, I can't wait.
Multiple personality disorder?
Cannot wait.
That is one of my favorite afflictions. When we get to M, we have to do that. Because
Oh, yeah. Really,
we're all multiple personality order.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Oh, sing it, Mick. Hey, who's the hair? Comes in color. Apparently this is an old song.
Yes.
60s or something.
I believe so.
But the whole point is that we all have these many sides of ourselves from the four domains perspective of where we are in this wave. And once we have that experience early on in development, we sort of think that that's us. So like Val and I, third year of life, is all about the falling part of that wave. These cycles go in different in time intervals. And I got to kill this song. It's going to annoy me now. Sorry, Mick. You grew old fast. Kip! And so what happens is that becomes your perspective as you develop. And then when you get to be an adult and you have to be able to sprechen Sie Deutsch on all four parts of the wave, hello, all of a sudden it becomes a little difficult. It becomes a little bit hesitatory. And you're not as fluid and as affable in those other three because you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get used to it because you're going to be stuck in adulthood for the next 60 years.
So you have to
learn how to acquire the signatures. And where would you get such signatures? Other shapes. So maybe, just like cells in the body, maybe other people are just like cells in humanity.
Interesting.
Yes. Unity, too. So every time you see, because the phylo part is the survival part, so most of us are phylos because they're parenchyma. They're just basically filler. They're the fleshy flesh. Right, then you have the onto structural part that becomes part of the way it self governs and can become self aware and self referencing and humanity self referencing, and then the ecos of the emotional part, and then the exos of the part that's left when everything's dead. The underlying structure. Okay, so again, valley peak rise and falls. All you got to know, anytime you just draw a little wave, you're in the soma, and you figure out where are you in perception of that. And then where do you need to be? See, once you know where you are in that wave, and you know what you are in terms of which one of those four perspectives is the one that you see life from the best, then you become more actively able to witness things and shift yourself to other perspectives as you get more adept at the other three. Then you've got all four on the floor, and then you're rolling. Then you're a coherent shape, and you're a soma star.
It's really nice to be around someone who's actually coherent. There's so few.
There was a couple last night in the class there.
Yeah, quite. Actually, there's more than usual in one of my classes.
I think that exo in the corner, the Sphinx.
Oh, yeah.
Does she talk?
Yes. She's actually very, very sweet. She does talk, and she has fun.
Yeah, she did not. What a poker face on her last night.
Yeah, well, she was checking you out.
Yeah, I felt checked out last night, actually.
Well, yeah.
I came in like a raging lunatic, that's why.
Well, and you walked into a room full of people who are in human services in many different areas, so.
Mm.
you know, social workers and shrinks and.
What was the breakdown? Did you ever figure it out? Was it like 25 people in the class or so?
There's 27 in the class, but 25 showed up, and I just can't believe there were five exos. That's just huge. It's 18.5%.
Yeah, it's like double in the population. There's usually just nine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in human services?
Well, they have other domains, and they're all in their 40s, so, you know, they've been speaking the other three languages for 15 years now.
Yeah.
At least consciously.
Doing very well. Yeah, yeah. We
how many egos? Was it like half ego?
I don't know. Yeah,
a lot of egos.
We had about five Ontos, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about the Philos. It's a little light on the Philos, I think.
Well, there were a couple of, like, almost like messed up ones in the front there. A couple of junkyards, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they were pretty much equal for Ontos and Exos and a few Philos, and the rest were all Ecos.
We're completely talking now Soma Babble. Here on Summertime, 19 minutes to go. Number again, 646-478-4847. There was a point there, but the paragraph did not have anything else but the names of the four domains in them. So if you're just tuning in now, yeah, it's Summertime, all right, and you're not invited. So there.
That's right.
941, where the hell you been? So we're looking around, we see in the pop culture that we have an Onto of epic proportion out there in the Midwest raising all kinds of hell on Obama's Senate seat. And I don't know if you pulled any audio for that today, but I thought that guy was absolutely hilarious.
Which guy are you talking about?
I can't even say his name.
Oh,
yeah. Blomowitz, whatever his name is, yeah.
Blomowitz.
Whatever.
Ontowitz?
Yeah, whatever. You're Ontowitz, yeah. He basically.
He is vile.
Well, he's. If you don't know what an Onto is, can you find a cut of this guy talking?
Maybe.
Because I want you to hear what an Onto sounds like. He's talking to a group, and it's as if the group doesn't exist. It's almost like he's talking to the other voices in his head about these charges, which I just found hilarious.
I'm going to find something right now on him.
Right.
Just give me a second here. What would we do without YouTube? I don't know how we'd...
Well, seeing all the callers we're getting, which, you know, just...
Well, let's see if we can find...
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Okay, let's see if this is him actually speaking. My YouTube doesn't really work very well sometimes, so let me see.
We should prepare this all because, you know, the show is so anticipated, of course, the Blog Talk Universe every week.
I think there's a lot of a sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. True question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to...
Oh, damn it.
He's talking pretty fast. That sounds like an auctioneer.
Do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously.
Notoriously?
And who feel like they want to sneakily and... wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate.
Tremendous. Absolutely classic.
He is. Did you hear what he called Obama?
Oh, yes. Yes. Was that on tape?
No, I don't think anybody has that on tape. Well, maybe somebody does.
If you do, get it over to us here at Summertime at 646. 478-4847. Yeah, I found him almost like a textbook case.
A credit
card. He's despicable.
He gets the Sue Simmons for that. He gets the Sue Simmons.
Oh yeah.
This is for getting taped.
Pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
That's right.
I really wish I could walk around with that kind of stuff, like in a button in the air that I could just hit. I would love that. I wouldn't even talk to anybody. I would just talk completely in sound waves to everyone.
Well, we just do it all day long, like our dog Fred. Just keep.
Yeah.
They have those soundboards, you know, like the Tony Soprano boards and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'd have a Val soundboard.
Why talk? Actually, maybe that'd be a good communication board for my son.
There you go.
Stuff like SpongeBob saying imagination all day long.
He would love that.
Anyway, the thing is that this guy comes across the scene. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And now Jay Leno's going to be on at 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
which is hilarious again, because now we're taking what used to be the drama hour, and we're going to add the phony stuff. We're going to put the talk show in there and see if it flies, and I think it will. Because I don't think this country can have enough movies promoted at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Kate, Bex, what was her name? Kate, Beckinsworth, Buttersworth, what the hell's her name?
Beckinsale,
yeah. She's on there last night, and she was practically straddling the chair at one point to promote her movie, and then because she's in prison in this movie, so Jay asked the question, is there a prison shower scene? And she goes, yeah, but they cut it because the lens was so far away from me. They were trying to be nice to me that it made my butt look like Europe. So he goes, so he punched her arm. He goes, can I get a copy of that? It was just, and if you don't know Kate Beckins, whatever her name is, she's on it though. So she was completely self-absorbed in this discussion, and then Jay the Philo was attempting the eco, didn't quite make it across there and get the emotional vibe going. It was just an awkward, like, 5-6 minutes of dialogue, if you want to check that out from last night's Tonight Show. And of course, Jay doesn't like to be put in the spotlight a lot, and now he's going to be in the spotlight 5 nights a week. He's basically going to rescue the network. He's going to save it a lot of money. So, hey, did they give the car guys their money today, by the way? I didn't check.
Well, the market went up, but I did not actually pay much attention. I was out most of the day. I was busy.
Oh, well, sorry.
Yes.
Can't be downloading files or checking news events for me.
No.
Anyway. I'm running out of stuff to talk about with depression, because depression is so simple to me. If you're depressed, buy a freaking candle, stick it on the table, put your hands flat on the table, and with your regular breath out, attempt to blow out the candle from first 1 foot away, and then two, and then three, and then four. If you can do it at 4 feet away, with your regular breath out, you ain't depressed no more. You ain't depressed no more. But most people get about a foot and a half away and they can't do it. Because they don't
put
the...
That's pretty far.
Well, blow out the candles, man. That's what those people are freaking depressed. They don't breathe.
Hey, okay, so how do you get to the point where you're
breathing
properly?
I got to get this song. How do you do what?
How do you get to the point where you are breathing properly?
You have to practice it, my friend. You breathe 25,000 times a day. If you could pay attention to maybe 200 of them throughout the course of the day for even a period of time of as little as 3 weeks, you will now be able to regulate all four phases of the breath, which include the impulse to breathe in, the philo part, the rising part of the wave, the inspiration, which is the peak, the impulse to breathe out, which is the falling part of the wave, the eco part of the wave, and then the expiration, the exo part of the wave. So all four phases, the impulses to breathe in and out and the actual breathing in and breathing out is what you need to have there. And most people don't know how to pay attention to even one of those things, let alone all four of them, which is why they breathe funny. So, anyway, I was thinking, like, last week we were doing cancer. So I was thinking, what would be, like, an appropriate analogy for, for depression? And I kept thinking of Zero Mostel and I can't think of the stupid name of the thing. What's the Jewish show? Oh, God, it's going to kill me now. You know what I'm talking about? You're not even on the planet with me here.
Well, I'm actually fielding a question from someone. So he said breathing helps fight depression?
No.
Question.
Depression is a result of lack of breathing. It just takes the place of regular breathing because you don't have enough air to be awake, so you get depressed as opposed to falling asleep. No, it's what the heck's that movie, that play?
What play?
Ugh, you can kill me now. Unbelievable. It's just my life. Come on, it's zimbity. Oh, it's like the whole damn play. I just want to play the song because it makes depression funny. And I'll probably put it on the blog we hate anyway. Zero Mostel was the dude. He's matchmaker. Come on, help me out here.
Sorry, not ringing a bell.
You're terrible. You're absolutely terrible. I'll give you all kinds of good clues here. Candle, stick. All right, let's see. I get it this way. Fiddler on the Roof, goddammit.
I never saw that.
Everybody saw that.
I know. I missed it.
All right. Well, just think of depression as tradition, and then you'll get
it. That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
Sounds like Frank. This is a ballsy song, huh? Depression. This guy's great. Zero Mustel. You can't replace him.
No. That was really loud, though.
It was cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was. Because I found it. He's getting like Rolling Stones, though. How to sleep. How to work. With subtitles yet. But think about it. Most of depression is just a bunch of habits, right? Like I just said before, because of the expectations. That's why it's tradition. Like you could just say depression.
You know what?
Depression.
It's wacky.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's funny, because it's like no matter what they do, they get depressed anyway. Same thing with the anxiety shapes. No matter what happens to them, they're up a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're essentially you're becoming like one-dimensional as you go. Now, I'm trying to think. There's another athlete that got himself screwed up this week. Oh, boy. There's a whole bunch of them. Between Plexico and the other ones, I can't remember anymore. I don't even remember now. But the Yankees signed CC Sabathia for like $160 million, the big fat philo. Right? And all I'm hearing about is how the Yankees, they're about tradition, right? So got me on this one. The Yankee fans are upset because they actually had to like overpay for this guy. And it's like it's not like the Yankees. It should be coming to us, and that's exactly what happens. Just like the shyness thing, because the depressed person thinks it's only their depression, then they don't see anybody else around them. Even if they're a philo, even if they're someone who bonds with other people, they just think they're separated from everybody else, and their depression is unique, and it just happened to them, and they're all by themselves. The same thing with the Yankees. They put themselves in their fans, their Yankee universe. They put themselves in this situation where they're not part of the league. They're the Yankees, and then there's always other teams over here. So if a player says, "Man, I don't think I want $140 million, I think you better give me $160," the Yankee fans go batshit because this is not what they're used to. So agitation, like I said, anger, fear, all that stuff is underneath it, because underneath all that stuff is an interpretation that's attached to an expectation that then starts to program the person to anticipate the future instead of participate with the future. And that's the big thing I wanted to get across about depression, is that you can't predict what's going to happen next. That's why you're supposed to stay open. But because if you're coming from the depressed point of view, you're stuck in the valley and you can't. I've spit the bit on this. I thought this was a rich topic. We'd be calling up and getting all kinds of things answered. But did I answer that guy's question in the channel?
Well, if live, we probably would. But
No. Well, if you're listening dead, by all means, send us an email. Because, you know, we're very big with the dead crowd, yeah.
I have something dead here. I have some deadwood. Let's see.
Some deadwood, yes.
Yang.
And these two.
Bok Wai Lodi. Sucker.
Gotta tell you that fucking word. These are whites, huh?
White cocksucker.
I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I have the whole scene on there. I just love that. Oh, man, that kills me. Ugh. Best show ever.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today.
Yep. Had to get Bill in here. So anyway.
You know what? He was the worst person in the world for a change.
Today? Again? Really? I missed it. Oh, he's been the worst person like 3 days in a row now. So.
He's pretty much every day. When he's not, I get concerned.
He's circled the calendar. Keith found somebody worse.
Yes. Mm. Doesn't happen often, though.
Well, again, just to recap a little bit, because on the blog we hate to have a little more summary of it later, but for the most part, if you take all of these things we talked about, so far we've covered four conditions. We've got ABCD, right? We got anxiety. We had bulimia right before Thanksgiving. Last week we had cancer, and now depression, right? Now you take those four. What could possibly be worse than those four?
I know.
Next week's show.
That's right.
Next week's show, ladies and gentlemen. Because as this show has been lame and limp, next week that'll be the topic as we discuss erectile dysfunction. Big Ed's coming to town. Can't wait.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Well, actually, it doesn't sound like that, but...
No. It will next week. We're going to be playing it every 5 seconds. So.
Clap on, clap off, the clapper.
More like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be our topic next week, and I really want to get past this point where we're just talking about these conditions, and we're actually talking about the perception of these conditions, because they're just labels. And if you think, once you put yourself in that mindset, you don't see any other side of the coin, you don't perceive anything else, and you can't change. You can't change not because you're not capable, because there's no opportunity, because you don't think it's possible. And in somatics, you're basically in a different mindset completely. You're allowed to let things flow through, and you don't get attached to the result because you're invested in the process. That's what we're trying to get you to do here. So, to repeat, head over to somerspace.org for more information about us. And we want to do it. We're looking to be hired here on the air. We could do it on the phone. We could do it, I feel like Green Eggs and Ham. We could do it with a loan.
We should get a loan.
We should get a loan. Yeah, when's our bailout, a somatic bailout coming? We're looking to do a set of these New Year's resolutions classes. We call them New Year's revolutions, where you learn how to do this simple system we put together here and train yourself to things that are part of the somatic method so that you can profile yourself, look at other people, be able to read these different attitudes that are coming out of them, be able to understand how they're trying to play into each other. Instead of seeing everyone is separate from you and everyone is different from you, you start finding the common ground. So we want to be able to teach that to you going into next year and give yourself some powerful resources that you can start to become independently healthy and face the world, immune to the crap that's being hurled at you. That's our goal.
That's right.
That's a good goal. So,
great,
do you have anything else to add about that before we play the outro here? Because I'm ready to jump off a cliff.
No, not really.
As soon as our hotline's open tonight, leave a message.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here. Hang on a sec. I have it here. Yeah, we got 2 minutes to go. This should be just about right. Any last words there, Doc?
Yeah, here you go.
Across this country, this is the agenda I have set before my fellow prisoners. And the same standards of clarity and candor must now be applied to my opponent.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
More Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your winter blues. See you next week for the Limpos.
Bye, kids.
Travel light, if you know what I mean. What's the damn song?
Down in the valley.
Are you going to play this anyway?
Yes.
The valley's so low.
Taunting.
It is.
Hang your head over. Hear the wind blow.
Not as good as me in the bathroom, though.
Hear the wind
what was
blow,
that?
Love. Hear the wind blow.
How many shows end like this?
Hang your head over.
Well, with ours, you never know. Hey, you know, the full moon's coming up.
That's right. The Anto Moon will be with us on the 12th.
December 12th at 11:38 in the morning.
And Saturday is a high holy day. It's Von Jorge's birthday, number 66.
Is that right?
Yes, the Desert Lion bows to the on the day after the... and he has an eco birthday this year.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably do something crazy then.
That's right.
Someone's telling me we're still on the air. Yes, we know.
Yeah, we know. We've been on the air for an hour. Why don't you call us and talk to us, you bastard?
Says the song is making him sleepy. I guess he never saw Stir Crazy.
Put your
arms around. That's right.
It was a goddamn vacation. What the hell? How would you like a long time prison funeral? Would you go for that? Just relax. He's going to drop a rock of him.
Oh, my bird is chiming in now. You
really?
Hear the laser?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She's doing her laser girl routine. That's right. All right, you people better show up next week so we can talk about peepees.
Yes. Bring your meat.
Bring out your dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man,
you
we are out of here.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Bye.
See you next week.